This is an ABC podcast.
Talofa lava and warm Pacific greetings. Happy Friday as well. I'm Talia Olatia and you're listening to Pacific Beat. Today on the program, TikTok, the Chinese-owned video sharing social networking service, is primarily known as being a source of entertainment. But the app has become increasingly political as world leaders step in, concerned that TikTok could be forced to hand its data over to the Chinese government. Even US President Donald Trump wants it banned.
It can't be controlled for security reasons by China. Too big, too invasive, and it can't be. I set a date of around September 15th, at which point it's going to be out of business in the United States.
As TikTok fights back against these claims, the app has been growing in popularity across the Pacific. So what impact could this political scrutiny have on its Pacific users? You'll find out more in about 10 minutes. And face coverings are mandatory in PNG's capital, Port Moresby, so people are finding new business opportunities in mask making.
Where there is demand for something, we need to switch over and do masks so that we can survive during this crisis.
You'll hear more about it in around 30 minutes. And even reporter Marla Damati has a go at making a mask. But next, advocates say that peoples with a disability in PNG are being left behind in the country's response to the growing coronavirus pandemic.
You're listening to Pacific Beat on ABC Radio Australia.
In the past 24 hours, there has been one more COVID-19 death in Papua New Guinea, bringing the country's total number of deaths to 3. The man was 62 years old and had an underlying medical condition. There's been 10 new confirmed cases, including the deceased man, bringing the total number of cases in the country to 163. While the majority of cases being reported are still within the PNG capital, COVID-19 has now affected 7 out of the 22 PNG provinces. The massive copper and gold Okteti mine in Western Province has been shut down for at least 14 days after 7 cases were confirmed there. The company says the original source of transmission was a person who flew from the capital Port Moresby to the town of Kyunga last Friday on a commercial airline, raising questions over whether the government moved quickly enough to stop domestic travel. Okteti estimates the 14-day shutdown alone will cost it in excess of 100 million kina. But it's not all been bad news. What you're hearing there are the sounds of a plane carrying 44 cubic metres of essential medical supplies. We're talking protective masks, suits and gloves, thermometers and even ventilators as it touched down in Port Moresby yesterday. Australia's High Commissioner John Phillip was on the tarmac as part of the official delegation welcoming the goods.
Australia is very pleased that we're able to support with $3 million the establishment of Pacific Air Services to be able to bring equipment to all the Pacific Island PIF nations.
As you can see, it's a joint operation between Australia, WHO and UNICEF, the European Union and everything. As our numbers are rising, as we've always said, everyone has to be aware, not to be complacent.
That was Australia's High Commissioner John Phillip, as well as PNG's Health Minister Jelta Wong there. Now, there are many people who are considered to be vulnerable in the coronavirus pandemic, but there's particular concern about people living with disabilities, with PNG advocates saying they're being left behind or even forgotten in the messaging and restrictions. Reporter Jordan Fennell has more.
In a recent update on coronavirus statistics, Papua New Guinea's acting Health Secretary Dr. Paisan Dakulala held a televised press conference.
This case was tested using what we call the gene expert testing, and the result was received after lunch today.
In the video, Mr. Dakulala is wearing a mask which hides his mouth, and there is no sign language interpreter. Face masks are, of course, mandatory in the PNG capital now, but for disability advocate Ipul Powaso, it posed a problem.
I was just wondering how are, you know, the hard of hearing and, you know, deaf people able to understand what's being said.
She says there's a lack of information around coronavirus that's easy for disabled people in PNG to access. Here in Australia, for example, COVID-19 press conferences have people doing sign language at the same time. Ipul Powaso, who's currently in Melbourne, says that would be an easy change to make in PNG.
This is very important, and at this unprecedented time, you know, the information needs to go out to, you know, the diverse group of people.
Meanwhile, Ross Tito, who heads up the PNG Assembly of Disabled Peoples, says it's not clear how the various coronavirus restrictions should be adapted for people with disabilities.
For instance, a wheelchair person, you know, who need the help of another person. So if you are doing practicing social distancing of 1 meter, that would not work. You know, let alone a blind person who relies on a human person for a guide, and let alone a person who's got no elbow trying to cough into an elbow. You know, those are real challenges. Life challenges that we are faced with on the ground.
PNG's emergency measures do allow people with disabilities an exemption from wearing a mask, but not for any other COVID-19 restriction. It's these kinds of issues that were raised in a new report from Papua New Guinea's National Research Institute. Report author Sarah Kaut Nosamgom investigated the potential impacts COVID-19 could be having on people with disabilities in PNG.
With the pandemic, they are among the most vulnerable people in the society, and they can easily contract COVID-19.
Her report outlines three key issues: accessibility to information, food security, and underlying health issues. She says it's important the authorities remember there are a wide range of people with disabilities they need to cater for when delivering COVID-19 messages.
They have different impairments such as vision and hearing. It's extremely important to have appropriate formats such as Braille, sign language interpretation, and the displaying of text on screen for televised awareness programs and announcements in place.
She says despite the PNG government introducing a national policy on disability 5 years ago, the voices of disabled people are still very rarely heard or their views considered. An Australian-funded research project in 2015 estimated that just 2% of PNG's peoples with disabilities receive government services. Sarah Kaut Nosamgom says she'd like to see the PNG government partner with different disabled groups around the country to better understand their perspective.
It is vital to ensure that the COVID-19 preparedness plans and decision-making be bias-free and non-discriminating to persons with disabilities.
Ross Tito from the PNG Assembly of Disabled Peoples agrees.
Unmasking the protocols and ensuring that assistance is provided to ensure inclusion and better proper key messages are being developed to include persons with disabilities so that they can be helped wherever they are on the ground here in PNG.
As the country scrambles to protect itself from the virus, Ipul Powaso says hopefully this pandemic will shine a light on the needs of disabled people in the country.
Out of this disaster, we can actually relook at the way we reach out to people with disabilities, and maybe there is a hope for us to use technology to reach out.
That was Ipul Powaso ending that report from Jordan Fennell. And Pacific Beat has reached out to the PNG government about this issue, but has not yet received a response. Again, a reminder, if you are in PNG and you're experiencing any flu-like illnesses, that might be a fever, a cough, a sore throat, body aches, or you're finding it difficult to breathe, then you can call the toll-free COVID hotline. The number is 1-800-200. That's 1-800-200.
Pacific Beat on ABC Radio Australia.
Have you heard of TikTok? It's a social media app that allows you to upload short videos online and share them with users all around the world. Even I have attempted the viral blinding lights dance, and yes, I've started a TikTok for my boyfriend's dog Pudding. The app has been gaining popularity in the Pacific, but it's also been on the receiving end of another kind of attention in other parts of the world. India has banned the app, the United States has threatened to do the same, and here in Australia, Prime Minister Scott Morrison has urged people to be cautious when using it. So why is TikTok getting all this heat, and what does that mean for users and governments in the Pacific? Reporter Priyanka Srinivasan has taken a look.
Wow, you can really dance. TikTok is fast becoming a very popular video sharing app. From cooking videos, cat memes, to one-person sketches, the hugely successful platform has been downloaded by more than 500 million people worldwide, most of them teenagers. But its most popular trend? Choreographed dance videos. And these TikTok dances and short videos are taking off in the Pacific too.
The different users that from the Pacific showcase their culture and their tradition through their dances.
Annette Garay is a pediatric doctor from Villa Central Hospital in Vanuatu's capital. She and her partner are both avid TikTok users.
We thought it was pretty cool and it was fun. Most of it was fun. So we're like, okay, let's try out some TikTok videos. So it just started as something new, something different. I found that educational as well, learning stuff on TikTok, like cooking and just learning how to use the camera and, you know, some photography skills, like just my hobbies. And plus, I love dancing.
And when Cyclone Harold struck Vanuatu at the beginning of this year, Dr. Garay found another use for TikTok, a stress reliever for many of their health workers out on the field.
The nurses were just flat out after the cyclone and then with COVID as well, preparing the hospital for COVID. And so when we celebrated the Nurses Day, I decided, I'm like, you know what, let's do something different this time. Let's do a TikTok before we started. They're like, what is the nurses? These older nurses were like, what is a TikTok, doc? And I'm like, you know what, it's just a simple dance. Look, we just do this and this. And we gave it a one shot and that was it. And it was fun. Everyone laughed about it and had so much fun.
But as Dr. Garay and countless others in the Pacific perfect their dance moves, in other parts of the world, TikTok has come under fire.
The Republic of India banned it along with 60 other Chinese mobile apps.
The president on Friday announcing that the administration may ban the video sharing app TikTok later, telling reporters on Air Force One that
users are being urged to delete TikTok immediately after accusations of it being a data-gathering arm for the Chinese Communist Party.
The app is owned by Chinese company ByteDance, and analysts say TikTok harvests huge amounts of personal data from a person's phone. And because of Chinese laws, some fear that the company could be forced to share this information with the Chinese government. But TikTok Australia has said it does not and would not share its data with any foreign government.
When we look at the TikTok war, we need to locate it within the global geopolitics, particularly in the big power rivalries between the US and China.
Haiqing Yu is an expert in China's digital media from RMIT University in Australia. And she argues TikTok is being targeted because of its links to China.
Because when it comes to privacy data access harvesting, it doesn't confine to the Chinese platform or Chinese platforms alone. If you look at Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google, etc., they are all collecting user data. However, there is a problem with TikTok when it comes to content moderation and user data collection. That is, the Chinese government have authority over any Chinese digital platforms. And that's the fact that we cannot deny.
The app has been accused of censoring and shadow banning, a stealthier form of censorship where particular topics are downranked in the app so they don't show up in users' feeds. And while Dr. Yu agrees concerns around TikTok and censorship are valid, she says much of the threat surrounding TikTok has been drummed up.
It's made in China. It has Chinese genes. Doesn't matter what kind of face it takes. So, you know, a lot of people say TikTok is, you know, it's caught in a crossfire, similar to Huawei.
Some say the Pacific has also become a stage for these geopolitical feuds between China and the West. For example, Australia decided to pay for the $137 million Coral Sea cable that is meant to be delivering faster internet to PNG and the Solomon Islands. In doing so, it shut out a competing offer by Chinese company Huawei Technologies. For Michael Keane from Curtin University, parallel can be made with TikTok.
The point is very similar, that the Pacific has become a theatre of war, if you want to put it that way, or a theatre of Cold War. And the idea that when, you know, Huawei itself was a company that was got itself into a little bit of trouble, and it was banned by Australia, it was banned by America. But TikTok is quite a different animal, really. It's an international version of a Chinese operated company. So, but I think that it's more or less been put in the same tent as Huawei.
He says although it could be a sign of China using its media and technology to promote a new image to the world, he's of the view that it's not something users and governments in the Pacific should be worried about.
Well, I think from a China perspective, they see the global expansion of TikTok as a coup. It's the first real Chinese tech company or Chinese app that's gone global. I don't think there's anything to worry about. They should be as worried about TikTok, I think, as worried about Facebook or any platform at the moment with their data. I don't think that people doing, you know, lip syncing or playful things on TikTok is going to be anything that will be counted as national security issues. And I don't think the governments in the regions have anything to worry about there.
Meanwhile, back in Vanuatu, Dr. Garai says she's surprised to hear TikTok has invited controversy overseas and says users need to take steps to protect their data whenever they're online.
We need to educate them at the same time that the world is changing so fast, especially with technology and especially in a Pacific country where we're vulnerable to a lot of things.
But she says she's not looking to get off TikTok anytime soon.
Everyone's been pretty down about the situation happening throughout the world, this pandemic and all, and just being able to make people laugh, hey, you know, it's important.
Wow, you can really dance. Wow, you can really dance.
That was Dr. Annette Garai, a Vanuatu paediatrician and TikTok star, ending that report from Priyanka Srinivasan. You're listening to Pacific Beat. My name is Talia Olatia. Now, when I'm presenting the show, I have a tradition that is the Friday dance song, the song that gets you up and dancing on a Friday. And since you just heard about TikTok, it makes sense that today's Friday dance song is Savage Love, Lack Siren Beat by Jason Derulo and Josh685. Josh 685 is a Samoan New Zealand teenager. He's only 17 and he found international fame when his track Lack Siren Beat became a viral TikTok dance. He teamed up with Jason Derulo after a little bit of drama, and the rest, as they say, is history. This is Savage Love. That was Savage Love, and you heard that beat, which was Laxed Siren Beat, which was Josh685's beat that went viral on TikTok. And then he teamed up with Jason Derulo to produce that song. It's gone number one in a lot of places, which means lots of royalty money for Josh685. He might even get a few cents because we just played it on the radio. Neville Coop is the director of Nandraki Weather and joins us now for a weather update. Good morning, Neville.
Yeah, hi, Talia.
Sorry, I said good morning and then it sounded wrong. And then I was like, oh, no, it's evening. And I was like, no, it is actually the morning.
No, the week, good morning.
Yep, the week and the time. I don't know what's going on. But
it's Friday.
Exactly. Yeah. But you know what's going on, Neville. How's the weather looking out there?
Yeah, look, it's pretty benign right across the Pacific at the moment. Probably the only place with any significant weather right now are the islands of the Southern Cooks, basically from Aitutaki south. Some pretty heavy rain this morning about Rarotonga. That's the same cloud band that affected Fiji and Tonga earlier in the week. That's now just sneaking past the Southern Cooks, and it'll clear away. By tonight, it'll be pretty much gone, and they'll start to enjoy some pretty nice weather. Elsewhere, have been a bit of cloud up around the eastern parts of PNG, around your Brittany New Island, down to Bougainville, and even along the Solomon's Archipelago. So Honiara reported a thunderstorm overnight, but again, nothing to write home about and nothing to be too concerned about. bit hazy again in Moresby today, in a smoke haze about, but otherwise fine. So everywhere else in the south, looking pretty fine and beaut, and temperatures just at that right Goldilocks, not too hot, not too cold. So
sounds ideal.
North of the equator, yes, it's perfect this time of the year. So north of the equator, things are pretty quiet still. Also, we do have a bit of weather around the Micronesian Islands, but again, just some spotty showers and storms. Nothing organised, nothing to be concerned about, and nothing that's potentially hazardous on the horizon.
And so that good weather in the Pacific will stay around for the weekend as well.
It will, yeah, looking at an absolutely fantastic weather weekend right across the Pacific, I would say, and that'll probably continue into the early part of next week, as well as high pressure coming off the Australian continent into the Tasman starts to park itself in the usual place just north of New Zealand and keeps the gentle trade winds blowing.
Sounds good. And we were talking yesterday about the media show that we can expect to see over the weekend. Does visibility look like it's going to be favourable to see those medias?
So, yes and no. Certainly in terms of cloud, yes. The sky should be clear. We should be able to look up and see the night sky relatively clearly. Perhaps the one downside is that we're just coming off a full moon. It was full, I think, back at the start of the week. And so the moon's rising now sort of mid-evening, about 8 or 9-ish, depending on where you are. And that's moonlight is going to lighten up the sky a bit. So it may make it a little harder to pick them out, but the Perseids meteor shower is one of the more active and one of the more, produces a very high number of meteors. And you're looking at probably seeing 50 or 60 an hour, so about one a minute if you're gazing that way. And now, if you want to see them, so the Perseids are a feature every August. What happens is the Earth passes through the tail of the comet Swift-Tuttle, which returns to our part of the world every 133 years. It made its closest approach to us back in 1992, so we're not going to see it until well after 2100, so don't worry about waiting around for it. But the tail, the debris behind that comet is what we pass through. So what we're seeing is the small bits of ice and rock trailing behind, passing into our atmosphere. And if you look to the northeast, just it's after midnight, depending on where you are again, between midnight and, say, 3 a.m., you'll start to see them appear over the horizon to the north-northeast, and they'll be shooting out of that that little corner of the sky. So if you're up early and you're a bit of a fan of the heavens above, so get out there and have a look.
Yeah, it sounds like a real treat. Now, Neville, it seems almost mean to ask someone who's quarantining if they've got plans for the weekend, but do you have anything special organised?
I'm hoping that they might put on a couple of rugby games on the TV here over the weekend. That'll while away a few hours. Other than that, I'll be parked in my lounge chair here in the room and maybe do a bit of work, maybe do a bit of FaceTime with my wife and looking forward to keeping up with her.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, you don't have
that's
to
decide. Sum total.
Yeah, I was about to say you don't have to decide right now. You've still got lots of time to decide what you'll do. Thanks so much for the update, Neville, and we'll talk again next week.
Yeah, and stay warm. It's pretty nasty down here today.
It does. We need some of your beautiful weather in the Pacific to send it down here in Melbourne. Thanks so much for the update, Neville.
You're welcome.
Thank you. That was Neville Coop there. He is the director of Nandraki Weather. And for weather updates at any time, you can always visit their Facebook page. You'll find them at Nandraki Weather. Time now to find out the stories making news around the region and the world. And to do that, I'm joined by Priyanka Srinivasan. Hello, Priyanka.
Hello, Talia.
Now, Priyanka, this is a little bit exciting and I've seen it shared everywhere because this is how exciting it is. But a new report has highlighted the extreme biodiversity of the island New Guinea. What exactly does this report have to say?
Yes, that's right. So the island of New Guinea, which of course comprises the Indonesian part, which is Papua and West Papua, and of course the independent country of Papua New Guinea, this island has now been found to have the greatest plant diversity of any island in the world. It's according to this new report. The paper was published in Nature, the highly esteemed journal, and it collected 99 botanists from around the world, from 56 institutions in 19 countries, and they trawled through samples of collected experiments and samples of plants from New Guinea, some of the earliest of which were collected by European travellers in the 1700s.
It's amazing how well preserved some of those samples must be, the fact that, you know, now in 2020, people can come back and look at those samples and discover these amazing things.
Yes, exactly. And what an amazing thing. They found that New Guinea is home to more than 13,500 different species of plant, two-thirds of which are endemic, which means that they are only found on the island of New Guinea and nowhere else. So it's quite amazing. I mean, I guess we all knew this with the animals and I've seen beautiful orchids and stuff from New Guinea, which you can only find in that island. So it's not surprising, but...
Yeah.
This announcement has knocked off Madagascar from the top spot. It used to claim to have the most diverse plant life, but now it's over to New Guinea.
Well, that means that Papua New Guinea in particular can hold two diversity mantles. Not only are they involved in the plant diversity, but also language diversity. I think
They
also have the highest number of diverse languages in Papua New Guinea as well. So, like, really, when it comes to diversity, Papua New Guinea... in particular, is just kind of
killing
it out of the door.
Yeah, exactly.
Out of the ballpark. It's pretty impressive. Priyanka, let's go to Vanuatu now because authorities are planning a new census.
Yes, that's right. Mark the date. November 16th is when the housing and population census is to commence. So it's when people will start filling out the census. And it's actually quite a bit of a rarity because this is the first census that's happened in 11 years. And of course, these censuses, so what's the plural of census?
Census. No, censuses doesn't sound right. Maybe it is just one of those things like platypus where the plural is just still it's census. Just,
okay, yes. Anyway, so census are important ways for governments to know about their population, know about what the demographics are. And in fact, the last census I looked up in Vanuatu's National Statistics Office, that took place in 2009, I found this really interesting tidbit. It said that school enrollment data showed that 86% of children from the ages of 6 to 13 years old were enrolled in schools. And in fact, women or girls had slightly higher enrollment rates than boys. But get this, after the age of 13, the school enrollment rate declines radically. And only about 25% of 14-year-olds actually were in school. And after the age of 16, male enrollment rates were higher than female enrollment rates. So it almost flips.
Wow.
So really interesting.
And it just goes to show how important censuses, I just Googled it. It can be either census or censuses.
Oh, thank you.
So there we
I'll
go.
Add that to
exactly. But it shows how important these censuses are to get a snapshot of what a country's population is like. I know here in Australia, the Australian Bureau of Statistics holds the census. And then for years afterwards, you'll find reporters like us quoting the census as a way of understanding the demography of where we live. So it really is very important and it's very exciting. And I can't wait to see the data that comes out of Vanuatu.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. There'll be a lot of demographers who will be very excited for what will unfold.
And journalists like us as
well. Exactly. Exactly. We're a niche bunch. Finally, Priyanka, history has been made here in Australia at our National Press Club. What's happened?
Yes, that's right. So Nyari on Facebook announced that she was not only the first Australian artist, but one who is from Melanesian descent, so Melanesian woman of colour, to perform in front of the National Press Club here in Australia. So a great history-making time earlier this week. So let's take a bit of a listen to what she had to say.
And if we did it a million, if we did it for
how we do a National Press Club.
That was Nyari at the National Press Club, as she said. What a beautiful, powerful voice. I mean, that was live. That was taken off the live feed.
She's so incredible. She actually performed at Radio Australia's 80th anniversary celebrations. And her voice, that's like her live voice sounds like that. She does not need anyone dubbing or adding anything to it. Her voice is just so pure and amazing. And what a week for Nyari to perform at the National Press Club, which is a very like journalistic and political institution here in Australia. Like even politicians are excited when they're asked to address the National Press Club. But I also believe it was her birthday this week as well. So
Like happy birthday.
All the fun things for Nyari. But I did have to laugh at the end where it's like, what's going on, National Press Club? It's like obviously someone is so desperate for a live gig that even the audience of the National Press Club would be like, yeah, I'll take it. I will take it.
And in fact, that the reason she was performing is because they were discussing the state of Australia's music industry. So very, I guess, appropriate. But yeah, you're right. I think a lot of musicians are feeling the pain during this moment.
Indeed.
So good that they can be supported.
Absolutely. But what a first for Nyari. And she's so nice too. Like she's just a treat. So she's one of those artists where you just go, oh, I'm really happy for all the success.
All the best to her.
Absolutely. Priyanka, thank you so much for bringing us those stories.
No worries.
That was Priyanka Srinivasan there with just some of the stories making news today. Coming up next, you're going to hear how women in PNG are making masks as face coverings are now mandatory in the capital, Port Moresby.
Wherever you are in the world, watch stories from home, anytime, with a new ABC Australia iView app. Never miss a moment of the programs you love.
From Four Corners.
Welcome to Landline.
Planet America is back.
Hello and welcome to 7:30.
We are having that debate.
And the stories that matter.
We owe it to people to tell the real story, to bring people the truth.
Download the new ABC Australia iView app. Yours to explore, anywhere, anytime.
So why not check it out?
You're listening to Pacific Beat. My name is Talia Olatia. There are currently 103 active cases of coronavirus in PNG, and the COVID controller, David Manning, is urging people to take heed of the nation's health messages in order to stop the growing spread of coronavirus in the country. As the cases of COVID-19 continue to rise, masks or face coverings are mandatory in the capital, Port Moresby, where most of the cases have come from. In response to the new measures, PNG residents in Port Moresby, but also here in Melbourne, where we're also required to wear masks, are turning on their sewing machines to make their own masks. Even reporter Marla DeMarty has had a go.
Around the world, people have uploaded hundreds of videos and tutorials on how to sew your own DIY masks.
So today I'm going to be showing you a few different options for DIY at-home masks.
In this tutorial, I'll show you how to make a face mask.
When cases of COVID-19 began rising in the PNG capital, Port Moresby, the country's Prime Minister James Marape announced that face masks would become compulsory for the city's residents.
It will become essentially compulsory for everyone to wear masks in public spaces.
Heather Vanua is a self-employed seamstress who lives in Port Moresby. She first decided to make her own masks for herself and for her only daughter, but it wasn't long before the word started getting around.
I thought of my daughter. I said, if I take her to the public, I need to provide some things for her to protect herself. So I said, let me try. So I sewed a mask for her, and then I saw there was a demand for it. So I turned into sewing masks.
Ms. Vanua says the response has been overwhelming and that she's received orders of thousands of masks. She used to make clothes for a living, but once the new measures were announced, she was quick to turn her attention to face masks.
Our minimum order we receive is 1,000, and we have a maximum of 4,000. Where there is demand for something, we need to switch over and do masks so that we can survive during this crisis.
Government officials have even asked for her help in supplying masks. Heather Vanua is by no means alone. Antonia Singlet is a newsreader based in Port Moresby and has been using social media to encourage mask wearing, even suggesting some DIY ways of making masks at home.
There was a lot of public debate, especially during these challenging economic times, particularly for our grassroots people who can't afford masks because, they can barely afford to survive day to day. So I thought we might as well use our initiative and use things that we already have available at home, like old T-shirts, bandanas, socks, etc.
But the new mask rules have created opportunities for some women in Port Moresby, with Miss Vanawa employing other women who have lost work or need extra money to help her meet the thousands of orders that she's receiving. And it's something that Miss Singut has seen unfold as well.
Store-bought masks are not readily available, but there are a lot of local SMEs, particularly women entrepreneurs, who are making masks at home and selling to the public.
It's a similar story here in the Australian city of Melbourne, where masks in public have been mandatory for several weeks. Faith is a PNG woman who now calls Melbourne home, and she says that she's begun making masks because the one she was supplied with was uncomfortable.
I decided to think what's the best way that I should do to get a better face covering. So I decided to look into like DIY videos and try to make a pattern out of myself. When I see that I could be able to use that for the whole day and it kept me going, I felt that it would also be comfortable for my friends who are around me.
She is also organising to send some of her masks to friends and family back in PNG, who tell her masks can be quite expensive in the capital.
The worst is with my children. They are living in Port Moresby. They just said something which saddens me that, you know, if I were around, I would make them masks for them. Because the ones they're selling them in shops may be going for a little bit of higher price. I'm finding a way to send possibly my children and those others who can't be able to afford something to for a face covering.
When making your own masks, the World Health Organization says to use three layers: an inner one of absorbent material like cotton, a middle layer of a fabric blend, and the outside one should be a water-resistant fabric like polyester. Even old clothes can be used, and the tags usually say what they're made of. I live in Melbourne too, so I decided to sew some of my own masks using the three-layer method.
Now that I've got my layers, I'm going to put them together and I'm going to sew them. Let's see how this goes. And now I'm going to sew my other one.
I didn't find it too difficult, but I haven't touched a sewing machine in more than 8 years, so it did take some time getting used to using one again. But following the online tutorials helped, and I was able to make a few masks for myself and for my family. Back in PNG, where women often make their living from sewing merry blouses and lup-lups, Heather Vanawa is encouraging other women to switch to masks for now. She says it's a win-win for the women to earn an income and that it can help those in communities who might not still have their own masks.
I want to encourage women, other women who are actually doing nothing. I'd like to encourage them to go into mask production. As a way of, you know, getting it out to the people, especially those in the settlements, it will be good for them to have as many masks as, you know, available to them. Not everyone is able to pay for masks. It's also should come back as a social obligation where we don't have to sell everything, but at least we have to do something to give to people also.
Sounds of the sewing machine ending that report from Marla Demardi. Have you made your own mask? We'd love to hear your story or even see your photos. You can send them to us via the ABC Radio Australia Facebook page, where there's already a video of some women, including Antonia Singot, who you just heard in that story, showing off the masks they've made.
If you live in Port Moresby, Papua New Guinea, you are now required to wear a mask or face covering outside your home. The mask or covering must cover your nose, mouth and chin, and you can use a bandana or scarf if you can't access a mask. You need to wear a mask or face covering when you are in a public place, such as a market, on public transport, or in a shop, government building or office. You can remove the mask or face covering to eat and drink, when required to identify yourself to an authority or to receive medical treatment. Some people are not required to wear a mask or face covering, such as children under 12 and people with certain medical conditions and disabilities. You don't need to wear a mask in childcare facilities, schools, and banks. For more information about the new rules, contact your local health centre or government official.
You're listening to Pacific Beat. My name is Talia Olatia. Coming up shortly, you'll hear from a Samoan small business owner here in Melbourne about how the government's recent coronavirus measures are impacting his business. But first, a little bit more music. Look, this is a guilty pleasure because I'm a little bit obsessed with Sister Act at the moment. So this is from Sister Act 1, Hail Holy Queen. Such a good song. That was Hail Holy Queen from Sister Act.
Pacific Beat on ABC Radio Australia.
Hibiscus Pacific Goods is a small island takeaway shop here in Melbourne. It was started by a Samoan couple after their side hustle of selling pork buns in their home garage went gangbusters. The shop sells all kinds of Pacific comfort foods for the Melbourne community. We're talking turkey tail, salted beef, sweet and sour pork, taro leaves. The list literally goes on. The business opened in the midst of the global pandemic, and new restrictions on businesses in Melbourne that began yesterday are putting further pressure on the business. However, despite all this, new business owner Var is keeping positive and thankful. I caught up with him earlier.
Hi, my name is Vaas Tangata and I'm the owner of Hibiscus Pacific Goods. We're based in Cranbourne West, Melbourne, Victoria.
And how have you been impacted as a small business owner by the COVID restrictions here in Victoria?
It's been very hard for us. We've only just opened a couple of months ago in June, and we saw it coming as we were opening up. Even families and friends were asking us, is this the right time to open up the business during this time? But yes, it has affected the business. But thankfully, our Pacific Island community around Cranbourne, all around the southeast of Melbourne, they've been very supportive. We've had that support to actually get us through day in, day out, and it's been helping us pay the regular bills, which is a massive thank you to our community for their support. Because if it wasn't for them, we still wouldn't be running right now. On our part of things, we're very fortunate that also with these government grants, for example, rate relief grants, has also contributed and helped us out through this hardship time too. Mm. Hasn't been easy, but thankfully God is always there. And it's basically one step at a time. And now that we're on stage 4, yeah, it's getting a little bit difficult at the moment. But we still managed to stay head above water for now. Yeah.
And that community support is so important. And I know, you know, growing up in Australia where we didn't have a lot of access to Samoan food, people are willing to travel if it means that you're going to get some good pork buns. But how has that 5-kilometre restriction also played in a part? But are you missing out on customers who, you know, might travel, you know, 10, 20, 100 kilometres to come and get your pork buns?
Oh, yes, big time. Big time. Having said that, we've just gone through some of the new restriction regulations. Unfortunately, for the community outside the 5K radius, they can't come in, which is a shame, and we can't do anything about it. But it's all about being safe. And as you know, all our island people, they crave for the fresh taro, the fresh bananas, the coconut creams, the corned beef, the bobi masimas. Those are the kind of things that they want. That's one way we've managed to reach out to them, and that's going deliveries. As you know, Samoan people sometimes can be very challenging. So, for example, yesterday we had people come into the shop and Now we're trying to restrict it down to one person inside the shop. Some people did show uncertainty or unhappiness about that issue, but at the end of the day, it's not about us. It's about the regulations, and it's about us keeping everyone safe, not only our staff, but especially our customers as well that are coming in the store. With the new regulations, every single business owner must have these register books, people to sign in, and that's what we will be demanding our customers as they come through. Some of them might not be comfortable with it because it only requires a mobile number, your driver's license and the address. So if something does pop up in the future, that's where they trace it all back.
And thank you so much for that message, because it's so important too that, you know, you guys are just enforcing the regulations put onto you from the government. Yep. So therefore, you know, you're not the bad guy, you're just the messenger right now. And especially at a time where, you know, people can't go home to Samoa, getting a little taste of Samoa here in Melbourne is something to, you know, keep you going through for the next 6 weeks. Well, hopefully it's just 6 weeks of this stage of lockdowns. As a business owner, how much of a learning curve has this been? Because not only are you opening a small business, which, you know, at the best of times is fraught with a lot of, you know, logistical paperwork and stuff like that, but, you know, doing it during a pandemic where requirements and regulations are constantly changing. How have you found it as a small business owner?
Oh, it's very challenging. you go through a lot of hardship, especially with the wife. I'm mainly just dealing with more of the business side of things. But she's the one doing all the cooking with her staff, preparing the foods. Yeah, the experience, it's a very big learning curve. I'm only an amateur at this. And like I said, it's all baby steps. You know, I thank God for just, you know, the people that he gives to us, the accountants, you know, other local businesses that we have, neighbouring Pacific Island businesses like Banana Leaf, Pacific Eats, even Food World, Kiwi Pacific. They all, we share stories and we share amongst each other. And that's where we, you know, we advise each other and support each other through this hardship time. But we just went on to the Victoria business. And this is also a good encouragement for the Pacific Island businesses out there. We've just managed to print out and laminate all the translations in Samoa as well. So good on the government and the Premier. They've put out all the translations, the COVID-19 translations in the Samoa. So on our shop store windows and doors, we will also be having that as well. My apologies to the Tongans and all the Fijians, because they're regulars as well. But as we all know, English is not our first language. So,
and it does make it so important when you've got the information in language that you're comfortable with, so you have more of an understanding and more of a comprehension about what that message is.
Yeah.
You sound like a very optimistic and a positive person, very representative of a Samoan. So do you have a message for, you know, the community out there and, you know, back to Samoa about how you are doing right now, and a message of positivity?
Yeah, definitely. To all the community and the people out there, look, you know, it's all about standing firm and staying positive. Even through this time, a lot of our people have been asking us, can you reach out to us and outside the 5K radius? But my advice to everyone, there's other local Pacific Island stores out there in Dandenong outside the 5K. Please support them. They're also going through the same thing we're going. And the best way to get over this pandemic is just to stay positive and head high. Sometimes in life you have to accept the negatives, because from the negatives there are always the positives that come out of it in the other side of the tunnel. And that's the way we're seeing it. And our advice to everyone, please stay safe out there.
Good advice and such positivity. That was small business owner Va'a Stengata, who, along with his wife Rebecca, owns and runs Hibiscus Pacific Goods. I know growing up in Tasmania, it was very hard to access any form of Samoan food, and the best that my dad could do would be to go to the local Chinese store that had taro there. And every time he would cook it, everyone would love it, but he would always be, it's just not the same. It's not the same. So you really feel for people who are missing out on the good food right now, but hopefully this lockdown won't last for too long and we can go back to getting food outside the 5 kilometre radius that we're currently only allowed to travel in.
Coronavirus is come up on news. Now here I'm sampling talk long this blood virus. Now how you can banish him yet na family blong you. Coronavirus or COVID-19 and one plus sick also sick flu. Plant a line or say kiss him this plus sick is a come up good again. Be long only so him lick sign or some so inside long neck or coos. Pasal display ikan kemapin mo evi longo lap online, no online no seti sik penis. Sampla line ipin dai penis long display sik. Ino kat marasin long coronavirus, tasol ikat sampla something where you can make him long look out in you yet. Wasi man blong you want them soap mark long 20 seconds, stop long way long online no seti sik, stop long way long all public place, no kan all him eye, noose na mouse blong you. Suppose you got sick kus, stop long house. Time you like kus, kusi concert long hand blong you, or use him tissue paper. Suppose skin blong you e hot, or you heart long pulling wind, telephone or go long house sick, or health center blong you na kiss him help him.
Important COVID-19 messages there in Talk Pissin. I'm Talia Olatia, and that is all for this morning's program. Don't forget that Richard Ewart will be along at 3 p.m. PNG time for the afternoon edition of Pacific Beat. So keep listening to ABC Radio Australia across the day, and make sure you follow and like the ABC Radio Australia Facebook page as well, so you can ensure that you get the latest news and developments from around the region. It's probably good that the show's about to be ending. A big thank you to the team for all their hard work this week. Priyanka, Catherine, Jordan, Evan, Liam, Marla, Richard, Bethany and Anthony, as well as our techs, Ari, Brendan, Chrissy and Jules. And thank you to you as well for your company. I hope that you have a happy and a safe weekend, and I'll catch you next week for more Pacific Beat. See you then.